her speak.
Let her speak. Let her speak.
What is she doing out there?
I'll cut off her mic.
No. Let her speak.
Let Her Speak is a show that works its way through the alphabet from A to Z. We talk about music and culture and things we're obsessed with. We'll flirt with controversy and politics, always framed by a single letter. From Juliet to JFK, from Jesus to Jack and Jill, the letter J has some famous associations. On this episode, we'll jump, jive, and jazz on a journey through the 10th letter of the alphabet. This week, we're journaling the letter J. Welcome to Let Her Speak. Hi, Tina.
Hey, Jackie.
Oh, does my name start with the letter J?
It does, Jackie.
I'm not going to lie. There was some temptation in my heart to just talk about myself.
Well, we'll start off talking about yourself. How about that?
You know I love talking about myself.
Yeah, ditto.
I do. Speaking of talking about myself, our topic is personal to both of us, our first topic.
Yep.
Jobs.
Yeah. When did you start working?
Well, we recently discovered, like, the inspiration behind this is we recently discovered we had a similar job as a teenager.
Absolutely. Grocery store work. Yep.
So, I guess my first job was babysitting, and then my first real, like, job where I got an official government paycheck.
Yeah.
Paid like taxes
you,
and
like
stuff.
Like, you had to go to the bank and get a bank card and be like, okay.
My mom was really on top of that, so I had a bank card when I was, like, young. I had a bank account when I was 8 because I got money for Christmas.
Yeah.
So I put it in there.
I had a young bank account, but I didn't have a bank card until I was teens-ish, but early teens.
Yeah. So my first job was at an A&P.
Yeah.
For those of you from Eastern Ontario, that is a grocery store. My first job, I'll tell the story about how I got my first job.
Awesome.
So my mom worked in one of those wine, she managed a bunch of those wine stores in the grocery stores. And she had a relationship with the manager of the store, obviously. And
relationship?
Not that kind of relationship.
Okay. Just want to clear it up. I just want to clear it up for the listeners.
She gave him wine once in a while. You know, he cleaned her floors. I don't know. They just had like a good working relationship. She had, ran a store within his store. And so I wanted to get a job. She hooked me up. Can I tell you what I wore to my quote unquote interview?
Yes, because I love Junior Jackie outfits.
Okay, so I think I was 15.
Yeah.
It was before I was a goth. So I was wearing, wait for it, a blouse, a floor length, tiny, tiny floral print skirt with buttons all the way down the front.
Oh my God.
It was the 90s.
Wait, was the blouse under the dress?
It was tucked in.
Well, oh, it's a skirt.
Sorry. Skirt. Did I say skirt. Dress? Yeah. It was a skirt.
Okay, I get
like
it.
Like a prairie skirt.
I was like, oh, I hope it's a vest.
But it didn't have the ruffles. It was just like floral, like tiny floral print, what I would call like a ditzy floral print.
Yeah.
All the way to the floor with buttons all down the front. It was probably like Eddie Bauer or something. I probably borrowed it out of like my mom or my sister's closet.
I'm going to look professional.
And cowboy boots, except that they were like the short, they weren't like just ankle cowboy boots. They were like full-size cowboy boots that were like shrunken down. So they still had the like bumps on the top.
Yep.
But they were shorter.
Yeah. Like the loops that you could pull them on.
Yeah. But they didn't go to my knees. They were like mid-calf.
Okay.
So those boots, prairie skirt, blouse. Oh, I had big blonde bangs and like shoulder length blunt cut hair.
I love it.
Big nerdy glasses.
I love it.
And I did my resume up and I printed it out. And my mom was like, come in, dress nice, and come in after school with a resume. So I dressed nice, which was my definition at the time, grade 10, grade 9 or 10. Come in and see the manager and give him your resume. So I came in and I met the manager and gave him my resume, and he hired me on the spot.
Wow.
And the job he gave me was courtesy clerk, which in the grocery store is, this is the 90s, keep in mind. You collect carts from the parking lot.
Yeah.
You do price checks.
Right.
You clean up spills, like spill in aisle 3, jar of pickles on the floor next to a bottle of bleach. That's you.
So you got to like wheel out the giant mop and be like, oh, shit.
Yeah. And I cleaned the bottling room. Now, grocery stores don't have bottle rooms anymore because
I remember those.
Yeah, because it used to be you would get glass bottles of pop.
Yep.
You would take them back to the grocery store and get a deposit.
You get your deposit,
And it seems like a machine. You put the put the bottle in the machine and it just disappears. On the other side of the machine, it's just a conveyor belt full of fucking bottles. And they would fall over.
So it's like teenagers on the other side.
Spill, and it was just a closet full of like glass, broken glass, spilled pop, broken cases of pop. And so
bees, were there bees in there?
It was the worst. Bees like crazy.
Yeah.
It was so hot. So I got that job in March. I started in March and I worked that job through the summer. And I made it my personal mission to make the bottling room sparkling fucking clean. Because I was like, this job sucks. I hate everything about it. But I'm just like, I can't stand going in this room. So if I make this room sparkling, all like going in it.
Right.
So I had to do the whole summer. I had to wear long pants and a necktie. And I sweat my fucking balls off pulling in carts. And I made that room spanking thing, and then I got promoted to cashier.
Amazing.
Which was the first of many jobs.
But they got a different outfit, didn't they?
The cashier had the little, at the time it was like a red sailor jacket with buttons down the front and big pockets and bell sleeves and a big collar. And it had like, it was red and it had white and blue stripes. I wish I kept that jacket.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
But I dressed like a boy as a cruise clerk because there was I don't actually know if this is like statistically true, but I was told I was the first ever female cruise clerk. And they just took a chance on me because they felt like I could probably
lift up cards. Jackie, you're a goddamn pioneer.
I know. And I was the only female cruise clerk in my store. Right. I can't confirm it was company wide. Like the manager said it to me, but whatever. Could have been bullshit. I think he was just trying to say to me like, this job sucks.
Yeah.
Like that guy's a basketball player and like he's on the football team, but we're going to give this job to you because you're going to hustle. And I did.
There you go. That's great.
Yeah, anyways, that was my first job.
That's awesome. I think my first official job was doing ice cream at Harbor Front.
Oh, that's a way better job. That's how I perceive it.
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine because my managers were other teenagers.
Yeah.
So they didn't give an F about anything and they would like steal alcohol from the restaurant. It was hilarious.
But they mixed that alcohol with ice cream.
Oh, no. That's just weird. But they would like steal alcohol from the restaurant, which was a total tourist trap. It's probably still there. It was an awful restaurant. My manager, like she was so funny. And like, I guess I still have her as a friend on Instagrams and Facebook and stuff.
I still have some A&P friends.
Yeah.
On
and like, yeah, like when she's still in Toronto, we'd hang out and stuff. She was awesome. Yeah, and then I started working. It's funny because this was my friend. Okay, her name's Andrea. She's awesome. But then she worked at Bluer Super Save, and I knew her there. And she was like, "Oh, do you want to like get a job as a cashier for like two or three nights a week?"
Oh my god, Bluer Super Save is that the one at like Bluer in Brunswick?
Yes.
Oh my god, I know that store.
And it was across the street from the Dominion.
Oh my god, I know that store.
And it was always open. It never closed.
Never closed. That's why I know that store because I lived at. Bloor, basically I lived at Robert Street, what which is Bloor and Spadina.
What year?
From like 2000 until like 2004. Five.
Okay, I probably served you because I was in grade 12 in OAC when I worked there.
Oh my god!
And I worked there all year long. I worked there mostly either Friday and Saturday night, or I'd work a random. During the week.
I can't believe I feel like we've had this conversation, so many conversations about working the grocery store.
I don't think
store.
We've talked about this aspect. Did you ever buy cigarettes? I hope not. Oh,
probably. Because I started smoking again in college. I quit again. Don't worry.
Sure. No, that's great.
But there was a phase.
There was we had the like wall O cigarettes before. Yeah. I worked in grocery stores before they had to put them away and give you, I guess they have to give you like a binder to be like browse the brands. I don't know how it works. I was never a smoker. So that was like kind of terrible at that part of the job because I'd be like people would be like I want Belmont Belmont Mild was really easy because there's only like one Belmont Mild but people would come in and be like I want Du Maurier.
I needed Du Maurier
king size
25 pack.
Oh god. Yeah, exactly.
And it's a wall of red behind you. Yeah. Like, I don't know. And then, I knew because I was a smoker.
Oh, totally.
But I understand your problem.
For sure. So I would people would give me these weird ass orders for cigarettes that I'm like that's disgusting. Yeah. And then there's a total hipsters smoked Belmont Milds.
Yeah.
Old people smoked Rothmans.
Yeah.
Europeans smoked Galois.
I've never even heard of that brand.
Yeah, it's like some like French. Okay. It's some French cigarette brand. Americans would try to get like the Canadian Camel version. Unfiltered. Disgusting.
Oh, so gross.
Asian women and gay men really liked menthols.
Matinee
king size menthols.
I've smoked a lot of matinee menthol.
Yeah,
in my life.
Yeah, so ladies.
That wasn't my brand though.
Yeah,
my brand was Du Maurier Special Mild. That was the only Du Maurier brand that came in the silver pack.
Oh,
Du Maurier Special Mild king size.
Oh, let me tell you about people who smoke Players. People who smoke Players were dirty.
Yeah, it's so weird how you get like those brand alignments. That
it's so strange. But it totally worked. I was like, this is so stereotypical. But it was like an Asian lady or like a dude who I'm like, I think you're a gay man.
Oh.
They would probably get mine.
I feel like this is a whole other episode that we could go down because
this is a rabbit hole.
I definitely think having sold cigarettes in my day, because after I was the cashier, I was moved to floral shop, and then I went away to university. I worked in floral shop, and then I kept coming back, and they would depending on which shift it was, it would either be in the floral shop or be at the courtesy desk,
right?
Which is like
the cigarette desk,
cigarettes, photo lab, lottery,
yeah,
all of that, yeah, and like customer returns and whatever, because I could like handle angry people.
Sure, you'd be like, you need to calm down about how you ate half this pack of eggs and now you want to return it.
Oh, you cooked this turkey and it was dry and you want to return it? No problem. Which is a true story.
Oh god.
But yeah, so I've sold a lot of cigarettes.
Yeah.
And but you can totally predict when someone walks up to the counter what they're going to ask you for.
Yep. Yeah. And whenever the prices went up, people complain. And I'm like, I'm an 18-year-old, sir. Like, please do not complain to me. You need to call Du Maurier, the hotline, or whatever.
What was really weird is because I was a cashier by the time I was like, before I was 16. So I was selling cigarettes because when I was first a cashier, I didn't have cigarettes behind me. I was in like a mega grocery store. So it was like 12 checkouts and then cigarettes are at courtesy. But if you came through for your $300 in groceries and wanted cigarettes, you as the cashier had to walk down to courtesy, get the cigarettes and bring them back and ring them in.
Right.
And it was weird because at like 15 years old, I was IDing people for cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't know if that's legal anymore, but it's crazy to me that that was legal then.
It's 18 for alcohol sales, but I don't know what it is for tobacco.
Like, excuse me, 17-year-old skateboarder, do you have ID for these?
Yeah, so like, bizarre.
Let me, my hands shake nervously as I review your ID.
There are other weird things we kept behind the counter. So prophylactics we kept behind the counter.
Yep.
We also kept the non-mint flavored mouthwashes behind the counter.
Oh, for the alcoholics.
Because people would try and steal them.
Yeah.
Because it just,
oh my God, I have so many theft stories.
Oh.
So many theft stories.
People would steal like the most expensive item in the store, which was coffee.
Coffee, meats, razor blades.
Mm-hmm.
We
kept razor blades behind the counter and batteries.
Yeah, batteries. Mm-hmm. There was always so many crazy stories. There was one where like a guy was coming through with a baby carriage and he loaded up the bottom of the baby carriage with meat and tried to leave the store.
Sure.
And we caught him.
Yeah.
And it turned out he was an off-duty cop.
What?
And for like weeks, the store was just littered with police officers because they were trying to fight the charge.
Of theft. Oh God, cops are the worst. When they decide to like do something wrong, and then the other cops are like, no.
I know, it was like we just had cops in the store all the time.
It's like guys just
harassing
like
the store manager.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because this cop was getting charged with. Was we were charging him because he had like $200 worth of meat in his cart.
Yeah, dude, that's theft.
Yeah, you can't just put like fucking a bunch of steaks in your cart and walk out with them just because you're a cop. Sorry. Anyways, people stole the craziest things.
Jobs. Yeah. So when did your supermarket saga end?
So I worked in the supermarket when I was 15, and then I went to university, and I went to college. I came back, and I blah 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 went on, and then eventually I was like sick of coming back to Oshawa from Toronto. So I met the manager of another AMP then called a Front Street Market on Front Street in Toronto, who happened to be friends with my roommate, and she had just gotten the manager job, and she talked me into, I was like, I'm thinking of quitting, and she was like, just transfer. But I was like, it's a union job. I don't want to transfer. You kept your pay.
Right.
Which was amazing, by the way.
Yeah, that's great.
But you lost all seniority, so you're going to get shitty shifts. And she was like, I have a workaround for you. I'll transfer you into the floral shop because you have floral shop experience and you can do that. So I transferred into a floral shop at the Front Street Market, which is great. And then there was like a big coup d'etat in the store. I don't know the better way to say it.
Weird.
And they decided to like change the way the whole thing was structured, and like, because it was divided like that. And then they were like, you can't just like bump seniority because you're in a department.
Right.
So I got bumped back down the seniority thing. So I couldn't even get floral shop shifts. So they were like, we'll put you in the photo lab. And then I was doing photo lab shifts on Sundays. And I'll tell the story of why I finally quit. First of all, I had two other jobs. I was like a serial jobber. So I was working at the food bank at the college.
Yeah.
And I was also working as a bra fitter in a lingerie store.
Yeah.
And then I was doing Sundays. I was doing Saturday 4-hour shifts on Saturdays, the undesirable like 4 to 10 shift on Saturdays.
Yeah, right.
And the 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. shift on Sundays because I got shift premium and time and a half.
Right.
And that meant I had to clean the photo lab equipment every Sunday, which was the fucking worst. But I did it because I was like, whatever. But then one Sunday I was extremely bored and I was really annoyed because this photo lab, you know when you drop your photos off in the photo lab and you get like the strip of paper? it has like a number on it, but then you just write like Severs and like you bring that back to get your photos back.
Right, 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 right.
Every photo lab does that by alphabetical by the name of the person.
Sure.
But this photo lab had decided to file it by number of the slip on the paper.
That's silly.
The problem is that if you lose your slip and you come back, you have to go through every single one to find
you. Can't just say, my name is Johnson.
So we had a problem with all these lost photos. So I was like, fuck this. I'm going to reorganize it. I alphabetized the entire back inventory of people's photos.
Yeah.
And then I came in the following week and the head cashier gave me shit. And said that I didn't have the like rank to make that decision, that I had to take that to her because she managed that department.
So ridiculous.
And made me put it back in numerical order.
Oh my God.
And I did it. And then I wrote my resignation on a piece of paper and slid it in the window. And I worked for that company for 8 years.
That's crazy.
I was so fucking mad. I was like, fuck it. I'll go full time at my other job. Fuck this shit.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I worked for U of T Library when I went to U of T for my master's. And that was a union job. I had zero qualms with it.
Yeah.
I had my manager like had a problem with some things because there were certain instances where people would get. Because you had a lot of access to information.
Yes.
Like if I was a bad person, I could have stolen a lot of records.
Yes.
So when you started or when I started, they started having people sign stuff that was like, I will not sell information that I can steal essentially from U of T and like sell to companies, blah, blah, blah. Because that happened. And my manager tried to get that person fired. And the union was like, doesn't say that you can't do that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Isn't that insane? It was something like that. It wasn't like criminal, but it was like not good.
Yeah. Double plus not good.
Anyway.
We should probably play a song.
Let's do it.
Because we've talked about jobs.
We have.
I feel like this could be like a long...
But yeah, supermarket. That was like my first like real, real job where actually...
Yeah, I can't believe you worked at the Blue Super Safe. I had it
like all year long. Yeah.
Because we have talked a lot about this and now we're just nailing this down.
I know.
We've got more to talk
about.
No
uniform though. We had zero uniform.
No, zero uniform. That was a weird... It was expensive. So I didn't shop there as much as at Dominion.
Our prices were high. Maybe you yelled at me one time about prices.
No, definitely not. I have deep sympathy for grocery store workers and always will.
Yeah, ditto.
Okay, we got a little song.
Awesome.
Related, on a related theme by The Clash.
I'm all lost. I can't shop happily. I came in here for a special offer. Guaranteed personality. I'm all lost. I'm all lost. I can't shop happily. lost in the supermarket. I come along the shop after.
You're listening to Letter Speak on Van Cleek FM.
Hey, Jackie.
That's a good little tune.
I love that song.
There's certain songs that will always remind me of working in a supermarket.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of the music?
You know? Yeah. There's also, not to like rail on our supermarket jobs forever, but whenever I worked a Saturday night shift, I would work until, I believe it was 10. Mm-hmm. And then we would often go to Dance Cave, which we talked about before.
Yes.
And there was this mix that would play on the radio, because we played radio, obviously, because mm-hmm. there wasn't, you know, streaming or anything else available at the time. And there was always this bloody Corey Hart song, Sunglasses mm-hmm. at Night, that I would hear every night when I faced the entire store. And facing, for yes. the uninitiated, is when you bring products forward so the shelves look incredibly full. Mm-hmm. Even if there's only, you know, four cans, it looks like there's, you stack them so it looks like there's two rows of
yeah.
cans.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it makes the store look nice.
Yes.
And it brings products forward. But it's just like, oh my God, you could waste a good 2 hours doing that.
Just picture. Okay, we got to move on from this topic because we've been on it for so long. But remember the produce section in that store?
Yeah.
It was like 2 meters wide.
It was insane.
There was like the part at the front, but then there was that little thing in the back.
Oh, one time a crazy lady shoved her head in the lettuce. And then I was like, I had to call the manager and be like, I have a problem.
Okay, so
moving on.
Clearly we could talk about grocery stores.
Long time.
For an entire episode, yeah. But we got to move on. Yeah. Hot topic. This was one we both like instantly reacted to. Janet Jackson.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
Okay, mm-hmm. So my sister had the album Control, which was not her first album. It was her second album, but yeah. It was like her big breakout album.
Oh, absolutely.
So the album that we're going to talk about is Rhythm Nation 1814, mm-hmm. which for me personally was one of my favorite albums of all time. It was deeply influential in my childhood.
Awesome.
As I said to you earlier, we were discussing, there was a time in my life where all I wanted to be when I grew up was a backup dancer for Janet Jackson. That was like the beginning and end of my life goals.
I love it. That would have been amazing.
Oh my God. I wouldn't think about it. Like, I'd kill to do that stuff.
She's still going, man.
I know. Maybe the dream should still be alive. Maybe I should become like a dancer full time and chase that dream. Because if you believe what the internet tells you, anything is possible if you just try hard enough.
Yep. So we should stop right now and you should start doing crazy workouts. Yeah. And really intense dance classes.
So this album wasn't really important to me. Like, I think of it as like the album of 1989.
Right.
It did come out in 1989. So a little bit about this album. It is listed on Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Albums of All Time. It is included in the book 1001 Albums to Hear Before You Die. It was the only album in history of the Billboard Top 100 to have 7 singles in the top 5, which is ridiculous.
That's insane.
The only album to produce number one hits in 3 different calendar years. So it had number one hits in 89, 90, and 91 from this album.
So this had legs.
Which explains why it felt so significant to me when I thought about it.
Yeah.
You asked me when we talked about this. Oh, I had 9 Grammy nominations before we just move on from the awards. You had asked me why it was called Rhythm Nation 1814, what the 1814 meant.
Yeah.
So it was a concept album. And Janet was a producer on it. She was actually the first woman to be nominated for Producer of the Year for a Grammy.
No way.
First woman to win it was Beyonce. Different topic. She was nominated. She was asked by her record label to produce basically Control 2, like a follow-up to Control that was similar in tone, similar in sound, because Control was a huge hit
record. Yeah, it was huge, yeah.
She was like, no way. I want to make a concept record about social issues.
Awesome.
So the way she framed this was Rhythm Nation. The idea was that Rhythm Nation is a nation that all are free to join because they're just bound together by music. So I have this little, like, the beginning of the album starts with this intro. I'll just call it up here. Here we go. No, not that one. This is the interlude or the pledge. It's going to take a second here.
Okay.
Oh, it's cinematic.
We are a nation with no geographic boundaries, bound together through our beliefs. We are like-minded individuals, sharing a common vision, pushing toward a world rid of color lines.
Okay, so it's built up to the first song. So the way that the sequence of the album was put, the, like three songs with the biggest social justice issue topics were put at the front, which was Rhythm Nation, Living in the World, and The Knowledge, which were the first three songs on the album.
Okay.
And then there's this next little interlude. She says, this one's a lot shorter. Oh, wait.
Get the point? Good. Let's dance.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
And then it was another, like a dance song comes in. So then it was followed by Miss You Much, Love Will Never Do Without You, Escapade, if you remember that song, big hits, and ended. So the record company wanted her to switch it. They wanted her to call the album Escapade, put a beautiful picture of herself on the cover, and she was like, nuh-uh-uh. It has like the harsh black and white cover,
yeah,
starting with the social issue songs and going into the fun stuff at the end.
Yeah. God, I love that video, Rhythm Nation.
Oh, so good.
It's amazing.
Black and white with an amazing costume. So the 1814, so which you did ask me, where does that come from? So 1814, Janet Jackson says it's for the year that the Star Spangled Banner was written.
Oh, okay.
But it also, R is the 18th letter and N is the 14th letter of the alphabet. So 1814,
RM 1814. There you go. Another J connection here.
Yeah.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes. Oh, man.
You know where I'm going with this.
I know Lip where Sync, you're going with this.
There's a show, there's a celebrity-run show called Lip Sync Battle.
Yeah.
It's hosted by LL Cool J with color commentary by the model. What's her name?
Married to a John Legend.
Oh, my God.
Whatever her name is.
Chrissy Teigen.
Yes, Chrissy Teigen. Yeah.
So Joseph Gordon-Levitt,
yeah,
he lip syncs and dances and does an entire choreographed dance to Rhythm Nation.
It was amazing.
And it's amazing. He's one of those triple threats, which I think we've talked about before. But anyway, I don't care. I love him.
I think what's so good about that is that he didn't do it campy or like over the top.
No, he did it completely serious.
He put on her costume.
He put on makeup.
Yeah.
He was like, I want to look like a hot lady.
Yeah.
He put on the outfit. He wore
the earring, the one earring with the key.
Yep. He wore that. He did the hat and he did a little ponytail at the back of the hat.
And it's not an easy dance. Let me tell you.
Oh, my God.
As a former aspiring Janet Jackson backup dancer, I have tried to do this dance many times.
Those moves are fucking hard. They hit hard.
You got to practice this choreography over and over and over and over.
Yep.
Big tune. So, huge let's play tune. The tune. So, there was, as we just covered, there are seven top five singles on this album. Beginning to end, it's brilliant.
It's freaking nuts.
You can just play the whole thing and basically know every. You would probably be surprised to know, listeners at home, play the whole album. You will know every single song, much to your surprise and delight.
Yeah.
But we're going to play Rhythm Nation because it's the big title track. And
here we go.
Here we go. We'll be right back. You're listening to Let Her Speak on Bank Week FM.
Hey, Jackie.
Hey, I'm giving this song a graceful fade out. We talk too much about grocery stores.
I know. We gotta rein that in. It's funny.
So it breaks my heart.
Oh, does it?
I'm trying to segue here. Okay, can we also talk about what we're doing offline? We caught some Pokemon during this song.
I caught a radish man? I don't know. I'm very new. I'm very new to this phenomenon.
It's my second Pokemon ever that I just caught.
Yeah. It's not breaking my heart.
It's definitely not breaking
my heart. Basically, I wanted to talk a little bit. I don't have a ton to say about it. It's just, I really loved this song as a child. Mm-hmm. So it's a song from 1976. It's Elton John.
John.
Yeah. And sorry, I just had to pull the notes here. The printer wasn't working. So essentially, it's a song by Elton John and Kiki D mm-hmm. called Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Yeah.
It's a disco classic.
It is a disco classic.
It's amazing. And I have distinct memories of my sister and I memorizing the entire lyrics of the song. And we used to do these like dance performances.
Yeah.
For ourselves.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. You're a twin.
So yeah.
I feel like that's even more normal than just sisters.
Oh, totally. Yeah. So Elton recorded his part in Toronto, interestingly enough, and mm-hmm. Kiki in London, mm-hmm. UK. It was the second biggest selling record of 1976.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Huge hit.
I know. And it's such a like funny little song.
I feel like the bits of this song were used in a lot of other songs. Like it was inspired a lot of other songs.
There's been a lot of covers. So mm-hmm. in 1994, it's not really a cover, but it was re-recorded Elton John and RuPaul.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Work.
So cool.
Yeah.
And it was actually Elton's first single in the UK. That went to number one.
The original one with Kiki D.
Oh, yes, yes.
So is she Canadian? I think she was British.
She's British.
She was British? Okay.
I think so. He also performed on The Muppet Show with Miss Piggy.
I love
So Elton John got legs out of this song.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, I know. I just have really nice memories of literally memorizing this song and, you know, fake singing it with my sister.
It's so this is the link between this Janet Jackson and this is like songs that you liked to sing and dance to at home as a child.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Singing and dancing at home.
It was pretty much this and the Dirty Dancing soundtrack,
which we've also covered.
Yeah.
This show, instead of being called Letter Speak, could be called like Songs from My Childhood starring Jackie and Tina.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like it is largely, if not childhood, like songs that we liked before we turned 18.
Oh, absolutely. And my sister and I also as children really like musicals.
Yeah.
So we had the Guys and Dolls CD.
Of course you did.
But we never had seen the film. So we just made up the action that went along with the songs.
Oh, that's...
Like, Luck Be a Lady Tonight was a big hit in my house.
Yeah, I can bet it was.
Yeah. And then I finally saw that film.
Yeah.
And it was the most boring film I'd ever seen.
It's like, why have I wasted all my energy on this stupid soundtrack?
I know, it was crazy. But the film was really boring. I don't know why. Maybe just because, I don't know. Maybe I built it up too much. I was like, the Sarah and Tina production was a 5-star performance.
This boring bullshit.
This boring movie.
Yeah, my dad had an
Shut Elton, up, Marlon Brando.
My dad had an Elton John record. I don't even know which one it was, but it had a crazy cover. And I just remember pulling it out and looking at it and just staring at it and being like, what is even, who is this magical person in these crazy outfits?
Yeah. The thing is, I think that I became aware of Elton John through The Lion King. And what about, Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
I was going to say.
So I was like, oh, this song's so cheesy. But then he has these like crazy disco hits like Don't Go Breaking My Heart and like I'm Still Standing. And
did he. OK, help my history brain. Did Princess Diana die before or after The Lion King?
After? That was 1990. Lion King came out in 1994.
OK.
I think that she died 97.
OK, so it was like Candle in the Wind when they redid that for Lady Di.
That was originally for, I think it was originally for Marilyn Monroe, Candle in the Wind.
Yes, and then he redid, he like covered his own song.
Yeah.
And did it for when Lady Di, Princess Di died.
Yeah.
She changed the lyrics like slightly.
Yeah. To be like, I don't know that song very well, but it's like.
Can You Feel the Love Tonight though? That was, I feel like, brought him to the consciousness of a lot of people our age.
Yeah, I think so. Because to be honest, you know, there's like, you know, he did the Pinball Wizard cover of the movie version of the Who's Tommy, which is a fucking terrifying film.
I've never seen the film. I saw the play, though, actually.
Yeah, I saw it in theaters. The film is terrifying. It has Anne Margaret as Tommy's mother.
Oh.
It is scary shit.
It's kind of a weird story even in the stage play version. I don't feel like it would really play in the modern era the way that it did even
but
in
Tina
the 90s.
But Tina Turner was the acid queen.
Oh, of course she was.
Yeah. It's just, it's really nuts.
It's a weird time.
Yeah, super weird times. But yeah, like Elton John, like Tiny Dancer.
Hold me closer, Tony
Danza. Hold me
Danza.
Closer, Tony Danza. I love it.
Let's play an Elton John song.
Let's play this.
Let's play this. This is a classic.
Just get that duet going, man.
Yeah.
We're going to sing this one year. Christmas party, here we come.
You take the weight off of me. Oh, honey, when
You're listening to Let Her Speak on Bang Cleek FM. That's Elton John and Kiki D. Don't Go Breaking My Heart. You know what I was thinking about when I was listening to that song?
Dancing?
Besides dancing.
Disco which I was, dancing? Which I was doing. Bell bottoms?
I was thinking in my head, was Elton John openly gay at the time of the song?
Yep.
He wasn't yet. No. He came out as bisexual in the year that this song was released.
Oh,
and he didn't come out as gay until 1988.
Freddie Mercury did the same kind of thing in the 80s where he was like, oh, I'm bi. And then it was towards the end of his life where he was able to, well, he was dying of AIDS. Mm. I think the news came out where it was Freddie Mercury's dying of AIDS. Freddie Mercury's gay.
Yeah.
And then he passed away very, very soon after.
I feel like, I guess hindsight is 2020, but it feels like looking back in time, I don't know if people knew and just didn't talk about it, but like, how did people not know Freddie Mercury in a band called Queen? How did people not know Elton John being Elton John? How did they not recognize that, associate that with like, oh, these men are clearly gay? Because in hindsight.
Yeah. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's one of those things where the media would just be like, oh no, we can't talk about it, that's not okay, because we'll ruin his life, you know.
Well,
as
they too.
As people thought it was a life ruiner. Obviously
Liberace,
it's not.
Never came out.
No. Which, did you see that TV movie with,
oh my god, it's so good.
Okay, who? Michael Douglas,
Matt Damon. Brilliant film.
Okay.
Anyways, I loved it. Yeah, I loved it too. He actually watched half of it, I think, without me, and then was like, I can't finish this, I have to wait till I can watch this with Jackie so we can talk about it. We watched it together. Awesome. It's a really good film. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that was really good. But yeah, no, that's another musical guy?
Yeah.
Performer who never came out.
Yeah, it's just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
The world is weird.
So weird. Maybe.
Speaking of weird. You have a Tina's taboo.
Yeah, I was just waiting for my intro music.
Yeah.
So it's pretty silly. But okay. I think you'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
Jugs.
You told me what song you wanted to play with this and I couldn't guess what it was.
That's amazing. Everyone else will find out the song. So it's basically slang for breasts.
Yes, I know. There was a time when,
I developed
very young.
Yes.
I had very large breasts at a very young age.
How old were you?
I mean, I remember people making fun of the size of my breasts.
People are such dicks.
In like grade 5 and 6.
Oh, that's disgusting.
I was an early bloomer. I was like 5'6" in like grade 5 and all boobs because I was so, so thin. There was a time where I was like 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Almost this tall and all boobs.
That's crazy. Jackie, that's nuts.
Yeah, it was bad.
But I don't understand why children think it's appropriate to... comment on other people's bodies. And I understand that children are not fully developed in their brains.
Yeah.
And they don't understand that this is really hurtful.
I mean, I'd like to think that, like, the way that the world is now, that kids are taught, like, bullying is wrong. But, like, in the era that I grew up in, bullying was, like, existed. And we didn't have, like, special things in school where we were taught not to bully. You know what I mean?
Like it was just part of... I don't know. I have some coworkers, and I know that they have children of an age who are, it's like, that kid was bullied. And the teachers in school are like, nothing we can do about it.
It was really upsetting for me at the time. It took me a really, really long... I wouldn't say I was into my, like... I was into my 20s, definitely, before I kind of got, like, past that and over it and felt like a normal person.
Right.
I think there's probably some, like, deep psychological stuff that I'm still dealing with without getting, like, too into it. But, sure. Like, definitely, I'm sure, like, I probably have bad posture and, like, there's certain clothes that I just refuse to wear.
Right.
Even though I probably look at it because, like, so some part of my brain's like, you can't wear this. Like, I didn't wear stripes until I got obsessed with stripes and then I couldn't stop wearing stripes. But I didn't wear stripes because I was, like... Anyways, this is going down a whole rabbit hole. I didn't mean to go down. But anyways.
Because you thought it emphasized your breasts.
Yeah, which is like stupid rule. Anyways, things stuck with you. Anyways, I was called any number of nicknames as
Was Jugs one of
Jugs
them?
Jugs was definitely one
of
them.
Oh, God, I'm bringing back your memories. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's funny, though, because anyone could tell you if they spent some time with me that I'm like, these are words that are not okay to use in my presence. Jugs, I don't mind so much. And I feel like that list gets shorter the older I get because I care less and less and I like myself more and more.
Yeah,
but,
that's good.
I really hate the slang melons.
Ugh. And so I was looking at slang for breasts on the internet and there's a huge, huge list on Urban Dictionary and there was interesting ones. I was like, okay, I would never say that, but I've heard women say the girls.
Yeah, I don't say that either.
No, I think it's weird and oddly condescending towards yourself.
Yeah. I say boobs.
Yeah, I would say boobs. Tits, if I'm being a little sassy.
I don't mind tits or titties.
Titties? Tatas?
Tatas, I don't mind. Yeah, I don't mind.
Tatas. I feel that tatas kind of veers into weird child speak, mm-hmm. where, you know, if you say wee wee to a kid, to be like, that's like, a penis, yeah. it's a wee wee.
Yeah. I worked as a bra fitter for years, and it was always an interesting thing. Like, certain customers you get, like, a really good shorthand with. You're in, like, a 4x6 room with them with their shirt off discussing bra.
Yeah.
So, like, some customers are very comfortable and some customers aren't. But I remember a friend of mine had called – we always would say breasts or chest.
Yeah.
Because that was, like, a formal way to make it not too familiar. So, like, the wall, like –
for sure.
Between, like, professional and client would yeah. be –
yeah, because they're like, broken. I'm going to take my shirt off in front of you. Yeah.
A friend of mine accidentally said boobs. She was like, I felt it, like, coming out of my mouth. But she just, like, was comfortable with the customer. And she was like, whatever, your boobs look great in that shirt.
Yeah.
And the customer, of course, it was, like, it happened yeah. to be one that got really upset.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, she came out. She was like, fuck, I, like, called them boobs. She was like, I didn't mean to. It just happened. And she yeah. was, like, got really upset and was like, I prefer that you not refer to me, like, my body that way.
Yeah.
And it's like, you kind of like, ugh, like, what difference does it make if I say your boobs or your breasts or your, you look great in that shirt? Like,
yeah.
we know what we're all talking about
sure.
in this room.
Oh, for sure. But it's like, maybe she had a thing in the past or.
Exactly. Like, right? Like, it'd be like, if you said to me, like, nice melons, I'd be like, that makes me feel weird in my heart.
Yeah.
Right? Like, exactly. It's just like something deep. Like, it really, it's no difference than being like, nice boobs, because that wouldn't bother me.
No.
But it's just like some weird association that you have.
Yeah. Like, but it, like, good on her for speaking up, right? Because yeah. like, I would probably just get red in the face, shed one tear, and then be like, I'll just buy this bra. Get out of here.
Yeah. I don't know. Kids are horrible. I just feel like it's one of those things where, like, if you're a certain kind of, I was just like a nerdy, awkward, gangly.
Oh, I was not cool.
Glasses wearing.
Yeah, man.
Like, smart, which was not cool when no. you were in public school.
Like, so I just to read, like, books. Like, yeah. you told your friend, I like to read.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I was, like, good at things like sports, but not the popular kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I wasn't cool. Didn't sure. get invited to things.
Totally. Yeah. Like, I did gym class all through high school. And thankfully, by the end of high school, my high school, like, it seemed to not give a shit anymore yeah. about, like, you know, quote unquote social status.
Yeah.
And everyone
oh,
was
yeah.
just,
the older you get,
everyone
the less
was
it matters.
Just polite to everyone else, yeah. which was yeah. fucking lovely. But, you know, up into maybe grade 9 or grade 10, there was still that, like, super, like, I'm awkward. And
yeah. And I just, like,
this
feel
weird,
like,
clicky stuff. And
if you're, like, an awkward kid and you're kind of nerdy and, like, a geek, it doesn't really matter what you look like. Someone will find something to make fun of you. Like, I think mm-hmm. if I didn't have the boobs, they would have called me, like, peg legs. And actually, I did get made fun of for being skinny, too.
So bizarre.
Like, I got a bean pole.
Well,
like,
we can't win, Jackie.
Or,
can't
like,
win.
Whatever. But I just feel like, then I grew boobs, and that was, like, a new thing to make fun of. So I just feel like it was, like, the being called skinny things didn't really bother me for whatever reason. But, whatever, the boob things really bothered me. I think it was just, like, also the discomfort with puberty and, like, discomfort with your own body.
Right.
And, like,
yeah.
everything that comes along with, you know, hey, jugs.
Yeah, exactly. Jugs.
And you're like, I'm a woman. Why are you sexualizing me?
I feel
I don't
like,
understand this.
Oh, I know. I feel right? like jugs is a very retro term.
Yeah. And I think what's funny about it, you know what I picture when I say it?
Like melons. That's kind of retro.
It is kind of retro.
Oddly.
Like, the more I disassociate myself from it,
yeah.
the better I feel about it. Like, I actually feel like I'm okay with melons. And the more that we keep yeah. saying it, I'm like, that's kind of hilarious. Yeah. But, like, it's my own personal association with it. What I like, what I picture when I think, when I say jugs, is, like, the milk jugs
yeah,
that you
same.
Got at Becker's.
And they're sloshing full of milk, like 2%.
Ugh. Let it be known that my breasts are not as large as those jugs.
No.
They are large, but not that large.
No. Not quite.
Nor sloshy.
Nor sloshy. Yeah, it's weird. Jugs. It's weird. It's so weird. Because it's, like, you know, it's the whole, like, motherhood. Like, they're built for... So you can have babies and feed
yeah.
your babies,
yeah.
but they're also, you know, built to be, to be seen as aesthetically pleasing
yeah.
to a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of men, some women.
Remember in the 90s when that woman in Guelph walked down the street with no shirt on so she could get taken to court and win. So women would be allowed to walk around with their shirts
off.
Didn't
she mow the lawn?
I
think
know.
She mowed the lawn.
Maybe. I don't know. I just remember it being in Guelph.
Well, you go, Guelph.
Yeah. And
you go,
I
girl.
Mean, look at how the world changed after that. Women just go around with their tops off all the time
all
now.
All the time.
All the time. We definitely needed to take that to court because the court of public opinion meant nothing compared to the law.
Yeah.
So stupid.
So silly.
Yeah. Like, as if women are just going to start going around with their tops on. There's way too many things, like, associated with our bodies and, like, the social science of that to start doing that.
Oh, God, no.
I admire if a woman gives the balls to, has the jugs to walk around town
go.
With no shirt on. Kudos to her.
Oh, yeah. Good for you, girl.
Yeah.
You go.
Tell me why you picked the song to go with this topic.
Because I think it's a good song, A. And B, I did not know that this was about breasts when I was a kid.
Okay.
So it's
I didn't know the song was about breasts either.
Yeah, Squeezebox. Think about it.
That wasn't what I thought when I heard Squeezebox.
Yeah.
But now that
so
I
it's
do.
A song by The Q called Squeezebox.
Yeah.
And it's basically one of the lines is, Mama's got a squeeze box. Daddy don't sleep at night because he's playing with her squeeze box. We can say that it's a nice romantic tale of, you know, it's father loving mother.
Of a married relationship.
Of a lovely married relationship.
Committed long-term parenthood relationship.
Exactly. It's lovely.
Beautiful.
Love
beautiful
it.
Song. So we'll play the song. We'll wrap it up with this.
Love it.
We had another song, but we're way over time.
Let's do this.
We talk so much about having jobs.
I know. Jobs and jugs.
Jobs and jugs. We could have done the whole show on this. Okay, so this is The Who. You've been listening to Later Speak. I'm Jackie.
I'm Tina.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Gets no rest, 'cause she's playing all night, and the music's alright. Mama's got a squeeze box, daddy never sleeps at night. Well, the kids don't eat, and the dog can't sleep. There's no escape from the music in the whole damn street, 'cause she's playing all night. Mama's got a squeeze box, daddy never sleeps at night.